Okay, I want to recap for those listening some of the tips that we got that I want to underscore. So one of the first things is really understanding the importance. So that awareness gets you in the right frame of mind to go forward. For businesses particularly, you're asked to have a strategy. So you may need to reach out to a security consultant. You can't guess your way through this. You got to get somebody that understands this thing. Budgeting for maintenance and security. So you make sure you have the best security in place. Remember, it's not 100%, but you want to get as close to as possible. It's better to be at 90% than to be at 40%. And updating software. Now, the people out there, they know what the hackers are doing. So they're rebuilding the software all the time. So when you update it, you get all the latest protections from what the hackers are up to. Of course, like Dwayne said, they're going to figure out something down the line and they're going to figure out a counter to that. And then you update again and you keep going forward. The passwords, very important. Now, the chat, they're talking about passwords and they knew what they would have said before they even say this. They said too many passwords. They forget the passwords. They write them down, which is very dangerous. But then they even lost the paper they write them down on too. So, passwords, you got to find a strategy for passwords. I have my own strategy. I won't tell you all the strategy, but I have a strategy for passwords that kind of work so far for me. And training and user awareness, let it begin with you in terms of the security. Now, let me be heading towards 12:30. This is where we take a break, and then when we come back, it's very hot to the finish line. I tell you guys, 2 hours go really fast, ready to wrap up, and I feel like we know getting started, we know getting warm. But let's go to the telephone lines and say good afternoon and welcome to our next caller. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hey, good afternoon.
Right, to you and your
Welcome.
guest. Thank you.
Yes.
Now, I have three little points as you're going down to the finish line here, at least a break. Two are to respond to your queries from the WhatsApp, and I don't think that they were fully answered. One is Google's request for credentials, though there was an explanation given, which is good. But what I have found personally is that sometimes the request is not really from Google. They say it is Google, but it is not Google. I've seen it happen to me with Yahoo, where they tell you that your account has been breached. Please give us your credentials to safeguard you from it happening again. And when you check, it is not Yahoo that is responsible. But they look everything like Yahoo. That's one. The second one is you had a WhatsApp who asked, what's the problem about fingerprinting? What is the problem about fingerprinting? But let me tell you what the problem is. The administration, when it was in opposition and the last government wanted to do fingerprinting, they tell us, no, don't do it. It is breaching your rights and stay away from it. That is the problem with it. The third issue, and which is more important, is that I am hearing coming through regarding security. There are basically two types. There will be others, but these are the two that I am sensing. One, where you can corrupt data, which is something you definitely don't want, because that's very serious, especially if you're dealing with money. You don't want your data corrupt. And I think that all of the security mechanisms are in place to guarantee that hardly ever would your data get corrupt. But the other one, which is more subtle, that we need protection from is the usage of your data. And we allude to some of it when we talk about WhatsApp and so. People can use your data to their own advantage. Take, for example, during the last election campaign, and back then we were not digitized. But every time I open my phone, I will see people popping up, popping up, popping up. For example, I know the Prime Minister there was my best friend on my computer. I never requested any information, but these things came up all the time. And YouTube, when I go to use YouTube, it keeps popping up. I get the videos, I get the messages, and all of that. And if you look at young people today, they don't go to the assembly, they don't listen to the news, they don't read the newspaper. But yet still, they will get an idea of who they will vote for. Now, remember, the implementation of this program is done by the government, who decides which team they will pick to do it. And at any time, they can hire or fire the IT manager or ITC manager. Now, it tells me the government can always access your information, which is the other part of the subtle part of the information security that I was talking about. If you are the government that you can access my data, that means you can take this whole country and riddle it with messages about your party. In other words, you can use it to your political advantage because the opposition doesn't have that information. Nobody else has that information. The government has total control and can use the information to its advantage. So my question is, would there be any laws to prevent the government from using the population's information to their political party advantage? That is my question for today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Who wants to take that question? That seems like a hot potato question.
I would say that that's something that I was thinking about. The you know, private enterprise and governments will use data in different ways. As a private enterprise, they're going to take that data and try to monetize it. Google spent, you know, shared the information with whoever would, you know, buy it. As it pertains to governments, I think they'd do it for the good of the country, to enhance the society, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we have to pay close attention to that. It wouldn't even cross my mind to think that governments anywhere in the world would take that information and use it for their own, you know, personal gain. I think that it's really an opportunity to...
But do you make it sport? Yeah? Do you know all these politicians? You make it be a sport, boy?
I do not.
They're not the professional thing.
But in America, they actually, everybody has access to all the data. So the voting records, it goes to both parties. So then however you use that information depends on how savvy you are. So if you are not savvy in that perspective, then you have to give some sort of data to the political parties. If not, how are you going to get that data? Mm-hmm. It would mean then you would have capitalists funding different organizations that go down the wrong road. But I would actually punt that to Sharia because she's illegal. Person on the chat, but I think that it depends on who is actually mining that data. If it's a private enterprise, then we have no say in what they do. But if it's a government organization, my inclination is that it's going to be used for the common good. And if it's supposed to be used for political parties, and both parties or however parties should be able to, all should get it. So it's a level playing.
Fair enough. I can read some messages and then we can come back to it because I know this can take us on to the latest. And I know a lot of interesting WhatsApps came in. So to be fair, I don't want to bring in someone on the line and then they don't get through. So this says, I just read some of these. I want y'all to take them in. And then we promise that when we come back, we're going to answer them in rapid fire style. This one says, will this mean that banks and financial institutions will have to change the screening process for employees who track data or have access to data? So again, as internal, like Sherry talked about having an internal policy. This one says, besides trying to sell us stuff, what else do companies that buy our data or information want with us? I bought a pair of shoes online once, a bad experience, ugly, and it didn't fit well. So I never buy shoes online again. Yet, more than 5 years later, I'm constantly bombarded with shoes ads. Mildly annoying, but I ain't buying. This one says, good day, Corey. My take on it is that the internet is inherently not secure. Face it. If you want to secure your data 100%, do not put it online or store it on a platform which is online. To be sure, if someone really wants your data and it's online, they will find a way to get it. And it is worth the time and trouble. I can change my password or credit card number if they get compromised, but not too sure about changing my fingerprints. I will not be keen on having that knocked around. This next one. This one says, good dear Corey, to you and your esteemed panel. Could you get someone on the panel to explain the term firewall? And state whether the safety feature is recommended for purchase and then have it upgraded on a regular basis can really keep me safe in cyberspace. Also, simplify how an account can be hacked. So, you got firewall, hack, access on the internal system. I'll read this last one and then we go to the news. It says, this one is personal for me, Corey. I need a contact for Dwayne. My son wants to do just what he's doing. He went to Canada and train, and I'd like to have them have a chat. So I'll pass on that information to you, Dwayne, and we want to be able to reach out and network coming out of this. So it's time for the latest from the Starcom Network News. More of data protection, data privacy, and cybersecurity when we come back to this edition of Brass Tack Sunday, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. Welcome back to Brass Tack Sunday. If you're now joining us, first of all, shame on you. But also, let me recap our topic and our panel. We have what has been deemed an elite panel of technical experts and practitioners to talk to you about data protection, data privacy, and cybersecurity. We have with us Sherrianne Walker, and she's an attorney at law with specialty in information technology law, data protection, and privacy law. We have Dwayne Bishop, and he is versed in the multiple industries looking at things like, you know, the data interfaces, digital media, etc. He has his chief technical officer, Ratna Kalaru, here with him as well. We have Dwight Robinson. He's the president of the Barbados Chapter of Information Systems Security Association and also the assistant manager of risk advisory at Deloitte. We have Andrew Nixon. He's the vice president of cybersecurity at Fitzsugu here based in Barbados. And we are very blessed to have each and every one of them. I spoke to a data specialist who's supposed to be on, and the information in this field is so sensitive, he can't even come on. One of our guests, I don't even know if it will point to which one, but actually works with the Defense Department of the U.S., and that's the type of level of people we have here for you listening to understand that data security is no joke. One of our special contributors, Mr. Carl Moore, he sent a note. He said, moderator, the march of technology has taken us to a place where all of civilization's eggs are now in the technology's basket, and there is no way back. More billions in the pockets of the Zuckerberg, Bozos, Cook, Gates, and those guru. One of the interesting comments I pulled from the chat was one of the chatters saying that the Facebook has practically and basically done what the FBI and CIA was trying to do for years. It just, you know, voluntarily give them all of the information. And I just want to pull some information from the IBM report that Dwayne spoke about during the discussion before the news. And just a little snippet is the what's called the cost of data breach report 2019. The average cost of data breach could be $3.92 million, losing over 25,000 records with $150 per record, and again 279 days the average before you even find out that you have been breached. You know, it's 279 days, that's almost a year. Now, if we go back to the questions that I read from the WhatsApp before we went to the news, there was a question about screening employees. Do we need a new process of screening employees? I know, Sherry, you spoke a bit about that in your contribution in terms of what we can do internally. There was also a question about the firewall wall. We need somebody to tell us quickly what a firewall is, about being hacked. What does hacking account, what does it mean? And what else do they do with our information besides using it to market things to us? Sherry, on the point of screening employees, there's another question which asks right here. And it says, good day, Corey. Ask the panel to speak about internal staff risks as well. While we look at external, sometimes your staff or employees come in and can compromise your network. So they want somebody to talk about that. So that is four issues. Let's go quick fire. Who wants to deal with what? Just unmute and shoot. All right, Sherry, you're out. The gates first.
All right. So I'll address that question first. If I could recall the question, it was, I think the person had asked in relation to banks, if I'm not mistaken.
Banks need a new screening mechanism.
Okay, well, I can't speak to what the current screening mechanisms are within the banking sector currently. What I can say though is, okay, so we have to be careful when we say what we mean by screening employees. Yes, I would expect with any business you would conduct your relevant background checks in terms of whether the applicant, whoever's applying for the position, whether their references check out. I know many businesses would ask for a police certificate of character. And I know in terms of social media, depending on the kinds of business it is, I know that employers will also scan that applicant's social media to see whether what they believe in would be in accordance with their, whatever their policies are. And I think that's something too that we have to contend with right now as we use social media more and more and we share more of our information and our thoughts. We have to expect that people will be looking on and to see what your views are on certain issues at the end of the day. So I imagine that businesses generally would employ that sort of background check. But in relation to screening as well, I think too, we have to be careful what we mean by screening, because you also don't want a situation in, yes, you want to make sure that you adopt a policy of greater data protection awareness, but you also don't want a situation where you are also collecting too much information on your staff as well. So that is important. So you're in the same way where as businesses, when we're collecting information on customers or clients or patients, where we have to be careful and ask ourselves, why are we collecting this data? Do we need this data for the functioning of our business or the service that we are providing the customers or clients or patients? In that same way, businesses also need to ask, why do I need to collect my staff members' personal data? Do I need this information from them so that they can perform their functions better? Do I need this information to ensure that I, as a business owner, can trust that they are competent for this position? So I think we need to balance that as well.
So I can add to the list, one of the ways to secure data is just basically to just collect only necessary data. It lessens the risk, so to speak.
Yes. Yes, only necessary data as far as possible. Yes.
All right. So the other question is firewall. What's a firewall? Who can put that into the simplest explanation? That's the challenge.
Okay, I think I will start with that. I heard the question. It was a multifold question. What is a firewall, and what are some of the considerations that should go into selecting one? So I'll start with what a firewall is. Once upon a time, it was a device that you put at your perimeter or the edge of your network to stop malicious traffic or non-desired traffic from entering. That used to be what a firewall is. Now, because of how we are working, there's no more perimeter. We're all working from wherever we have access. So therefore, the firewall is any mechanism that you put in place to protect your access to the systems that you are using. The firewalls that we had in the past, and we still do, and people are sometimes not aware that they need to understand the difference. The firewalls that we had before were stateful firewalls that basically said A can come in, but B can't. But what's happening is that all the malicious activity is coming in on A, because I'm coming in as a Trojan. I'm coming in via legitimate traffic access. So now the firewalls that we need to be looking at are what we call next generation firewalls, firewalls that actually police the traffic that is coming in and look to see if there's any anomaly in how that traffic is behaving. And those are the firewalls that we need to be looking at today. And then the challenge is we have so much data points that we need to make sure we have the right firewall for those data points. So you need to know, what am I protecting? Am I protecting my email? Am I protecting my website? Am I protecting my laptop, computer, my mobile? You need to have the appropriate firewall for the appropriate device. And then we need to also make sure that the firewall don't become a bottleneck for productivity. We need to make sure that the traffic levels that you're expecting for your site is catered for by that firewall. So that's another criteria. And then last but not least, you need to make sure that the firewall is active, as in as new threats come out in the wild, as new attacks are known, that the firewall actually knows how to recognize that behavior coming through the open door that you have to access. So it has an active subscription and not just updating the firmware. This is constantly learning about the new threats and vulnerabilities that exist via some intelligence feeds. So it's a whole lot to take in, but yes, it's a mechanism to protect you wherever you are. And it's no longer just a perimeter device that you can just put in and forget. It goes a bit more than that today.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes back to what Dwight was saying in terms of having a strategy, and Ratna touched on in terms of as well as putting in the investment and also making sure you seek consultancy with the people in the know. Because when you explain it like that, it sounds complicated, because it is complicated. And if you try to do it yourself, you could find yourself in some difficulty. Hacked. What is hacked? What is when an account is hacked? What is the simplest explanation for that? Who takes the challenge of explaining that in a nutshell?